You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We will be talking this week with CEOs from across the DC area about leadership. We want to find out what's going on in their portfolio. What's in the portfolio of these leaders? What decisions are they making? What strategic decisions are they making? And particularly, how is the economy affecting them? Because that's something that's affecting everyone, if not the leaders themselves, employees or clients, etc. So we're going to talk about that on Leaders Portfolio today. I also want to encourage everyone to submit nominations and applications for the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards. And thanks to those of you who have already done so for Business Leader of the Year and Leadership Business of the Year. We are using your input, and so you can pick who do you think deserves these awards. LeadersPortfolio.com for details. On today's show, an Inc. 15 ranked out of Inc. 500, also a $7 million private professional custodial services company. That's all happening. We're going to talk to them in studio today. Our first guest on Leaders Portfolio, the CEO and chairman of Social Solutions, Mr. Matt Schubert. Matt, welcome to Leaders Portfolio.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Now, Social Solutions is from Baltimore area. It's a provider of performance management software for human services. Can you explain to us what you provide?
Yeah, absolutely. We provide web-based software principally for nonprofit organizations. We work with human services groups that are doing direct service. So they're serving people directly in some way or their families. And we provide software that helps them to be able to measure the effectiveness of their work and that helps them to be able to understand, you know, what's working, what's not working, how do we make decisions and use the information from the software to be able to serve people more effectively, to be able to help them, you know, gain employment or to be able to find housing and those types of things. And increasingly, we're finding that it's not just of interest to nonprofit organizations, but really public sector organizations who are providing dollars to the nonprofit sector to meet specific social needs or using our software to really gain insight and gain visibility into what's happening.
And you came to the company in 2005. There were 11 employees. Mm-hmm. When was it founded?
Yeah, so it was founded in 2000.
And so at that, when it was started, it was 100% nonprofit clients. And then when you came, you pulled over more government sector clients?
That's right. So it was 100% nonprofit early on. And then today we have a mix of probably about half public sector customers. And those, in some cases, are federal government agencies, in some cases, state government agencies, and then certainly cities and counties, cities like the city of Hartford, Connecticut, or Boulder County in Colorado that are using our software for their human services delivery.
And you can either say this is strategy or luck, but it was probably smart to get into the government sector with this economy. I mean, the nonprofit sector is not doing real hot right now.
Yeah, and I think there's, it was really natural to begin to work with government agencies, in part because if you look at nonprofit organizations, a significant portion, in fact, the majority of their funding now comes from the public sector. And so it's critical for the public sector to be able to understand, you know, where the dollar's going, what's working, what's not working. You know, are the dollars, being effective, and where should the dollars go to be most effective?
And this is an area that I have personal interest in, and we talked about this early in the green room, and that's that, you know, because doing degrees in performance measurement and PhD, et cetera. And one of the things that's interesting to me is having studied this now for multiple at-risk youth areas is the fact that the government really only started doing performance measurement around 1995 in different different agencies did it in different levels, but it really only became under Clinton administration, really.
Yeah, we've seen just incredible growth from organizations who, when we first began to work with them, and in fact, in 2005, it was most common for organizations that would say, can you help us just begin to count who we're serving more effectively? We need to know how many people we're working with, how many, how often. Our funders are asking us about, you know, how many people we're serving and how often we're serving them. But that was about it. And so the evolution to today, where the questions are not about how many you're serving and how often, but it's really about, you know, who are you serving and what effect have you had on them? What are the outcomes? And then some really interesting discussion around, you know, how do we create social change and what organizations are best able to, you know, accomplish it, and you know, how can we do that with a limited set of resources? And from an economic standpoint, it's also interesting because it's an area where we're actually seeing growth in our nonprofit business because those organizations are able to compete more effectively for funding when they use our software, and that's been That's been really key to our growth as a business.
Yeah, you know, talking to the business community, our audience, really, performance measurement is, I mean, they've been measuring it forever. Return on investment, everything's about return on investment. And it's amazing if you get into the nonprofit sector, and some of these business people also are on the boards, and they get in and they go, we don't really know where the money's going and how is it working. And and the other thing I find is that they often measure outputs, not outcomes, or they measure outcomes wrong, or they do quantitative instead of qualitative. And so it's interesting to me that it's so recent, but obviously you can pick up market share that way.
Right, absolutely. So,
now let's we're talking with CEO and chairman of Social Solutions, Matt Schubert, excuse me. And and Matt came into Social Solutions around 2005. Before that you had done 99.9% of the work for a bachelor's at Liberty University. You're one course away.
That's right.
You gonna get there?
At some point.
This kind of took off for you in the business sector.
Yeah, it really did. And it's interesting because when I think about those early college days and that story and how it kind of connects with where I'm at today, there was really a sometimes I think about it as almost an unfair advantage, because I think there was this integration of thinking about what you're passionate about and really trying to match that up with what you do in life ultimately. And so it's been so exciting to move from Microsoft and Microsoft Consulting Services to Social Solutions, and to be able to lead that company and in a really different way in many ways. That much of my role is taking a VC-backed company and absolutely holding it accountable for growth and really moving it forward. And at the same time, really staying true to what we're about as a business and inspiring our employees and building a team that's passionate about helping organizations really serve people more effectively.
You mentioned in that VC-backed, and so you came, and that was your that you went out and basically tried to raise capital.
Absolutely. That was one of the certainly one of the early roles in the company was how do we make sure that we're capitalized effectively? And so part of that was raising an initial round of funding in 2006, and then we did a subsequent investment in February of this past year.
Excellent. And another thing I want to get at is some of the different issue areas that you hit through your performance measurement software, and that is there's a lot of interesting things happening at the Harlem Children's Zone. You were involved with the software in a pilot project for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So they actually use our software very broadly across their organization. They've been using it since 2005. And they're an incredible story. There was an interesting book called Whatever It Takes, which was written by a New York Times author recently, that really chronicles their journey and looks at changes. But essentially, Jeffrey Canada, who leads the Harlem Children's Zone, really, they took over initially, kind of 27 blocks in Harlem, and they really were intentional about saying it's not enough just to provide services on every corner and to serve those kids that have parents enough that are motivated enough to kind of take them and maybe drop them off or bring them. They wanted to have far-reaching impact, and so he really made a commitment that they were going to take every child in Harlem and get them to a place where they were able to finish college. And incredibly bold. And today it's amazing because they have 85% across the area that they serve, which has been expanded. It's almost 100 blocks within Harlem now. And they're making a commitment to those kids and those parents to be able to get them to college. And they do that in just incredible ways. It's knocking on doors and doing outreach and pulling those kids in with expectant moms. It's working with them on parenting and education classes, but it's being really intentional about making sure that no one falls through the gap and that there's this incredible set of integrated services that are delivered.
And so in that case, you're funded through Harlem Children's, they're your client.
That's right. They're our client, yeah.
But there's also this interest in possibly the Department of Education, HHS, in doing more with this type of service as a pilot.
Absolutely. And you've... we're really excited about the new administration's push to take what have been referred to as promise zones or promise neighborhoods, which are built on the Harlem Children's Zone model. And there will be a competition this year to select the first 20 communities across the country. And what we're actually seeing is that there are hundreds of communities across the country that are right now in the planning stages for promise neighborhoods of their own, where they're looking at integrated services delivery as really being key to change the cycle of poverty in given communities.
Interesting, and there's other there's another alliance you have, and I want to get this right, the Alliance for Effective Investing. And we're talking with the CEO, Chairman of Social Solutions. Talk to me about that.
Okay, absolutely. So the Alliance for Effective Social Investing, the idea is to really influence the funding community to pay attention to outcomes and to make sure that when funding is happening, that they're really looking at which organizations can consistently produce great outcomes. And we know to be able to do that, organizations need to have visibility into the way their services are being delivered today. And they need to put tools in place that enable their direct service staff to use information to make better decisions as they're serving individuals or families. And so the Alliance consists of a significant number of leaders and organizations from across the sector. Robert Gallagher of the United Way of America is one of those participants. The CEO from Charity Navigator, the head of GuideStar, Paul Brest of the Hewlett Foundation, Mario Marino, and a number of others who have participated within the Alliance. And as we founded the Alliance, we really wanted to push forward this idea that you can understand whether or not an organization is likely to produce positive social change. And we need to be about measuring that. We need to be about helping individuals and funders to understand what works and what doesn't. As we get close to Christmas time here, from a holiday standpoint, giving is on people's minds. And today, the tools just often aren't there.
And also being comfortable with the results. That's another thing in the in the private sector. You know, if customer dissatisfaction gets too high, we measure it.
That's right.
In the nonprofit sector, if we see something negative about a program, sometimes we hide it.
That's right.
And so it's, you know, that's another issue going on, which a lot, you know, and there's a lot of good nonprofits who have tried to change that. We know if we're not helping somebody with workforce development, so let's change it, because they could have gotten another program and done better.
Absolutely. And we are seeing examples again and again of groups, whether it's the Harlem Children's Zone or locally the Latin American Youth Center in D.C., where because of their transparency, because they're actually showing, you know, this is what we're not doing well, this is what we are doing well. When they're not doing something well, they're making the changes to do it better. And as a result, they're getting more funding. And that's very much what our software enables organizations to be able to do.
I want to ask you, we got so much into content, but I want to ask you your leadership philosophy.
From a leadership standpoint, so I think from the Microsoft days, very big certainly on performance management for our employees and for ourselves, and really establishing goals and metrics and putting those out in front of people, and then really holding high expectations for people. But I think that one of the things that I have the unique opportunity to do is to really draw from, not just the business part of what, you know, it makes somebody want to be able to, you know, push forward maybe to, you know, to earn more money and so forth, but to also really help to draw, you know, from the heart and where people are really passionate about, and in helping them to become involved in something that's bigger, that can really change the way that nonprofits work today.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for sharing with us today about your company and your leadership story.
You're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
Matt Schubert, CEO and Chairman of Social Solutions, here with us on Leaders Portfolio. Of course, you can find his bio, a link to his company, and his full interview at leadersportfolio.com. And I want to thank these sponsors of Leaders Portfolio, exclusive sponsors, Dennis Co. Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. I am going to return with an Inc. 500. They're ranked number 15. That's all here after this on Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.